Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A note of warning. This podcast explores graphic and disturbing stories and includes strong language. It therefore may not be suitable for our young listeners or other folks who may find it disturbing.
Hello and welcome to True Crime Daily, the podcast, bringing you this week's latest in high-profile and under-the-radar cases across the country. I'm Billy Jensen, and this is Owen Michael.
Hello.
This week, fishermen find clues in two separate mysteries, one in Indiana and another in the Pacific Northwest. A Phoenix man kills his wife and two kids in a fit of rage over an alleged affair. But first, the biggest story of the week, the disturbing tale of one woman's infatuation with the Columbine High School shooters, just days ahead of the 20th anniversary of the tragedy.
It's true. A young woman from just north of Miami Beach set off alarm bells and caused big concern in Colorado this week, you may have heard. Sol Pais, 18, was reportedly infatuated, according to the FBI, with the 1999 Columbine school shooting massacre. She had made credible but not specific threats before and after she flew to Denver on Monday. She had made alarming social media posts and threatening statements to friends and family and is believed to have kept a disturbing blog. The threats have not been specified as of yet, but they resulted in the closure of 19 school districts across Colorado this week, including Jefferson County, which Columbine High School is part of.
Right. So she reportedly bought one-way tickets, which is never a good sign,
right,
from Miami to Denver for April 15th, 16th, and 17th, which is Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week.
Strange.
And she took the Monday flight, which is strange.
Mm-hmm.
She also reportedly bought a pump-action shotgun legally and ammunition once she arrived in Colorado at a gun store in Littleton, which was 2 miles away from Columbine High School.
Actually, yeah, that's true. The gun shop is, but
yeah.
Littleton is where the
gun shop is. Yep. She passed two background checks, according to the store. You know, the store is throwing up its hand saying, hey, she passed the background checks.
Mm-hmm.
NICS, the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, and CBI, which is the Colorado Bureau of Investigation check. She had reportedly called the store before she arrived in Denver and had previously sought advice online about how to purchase guns in the state. And there is no waiting period to buy a gun in Colorado.
That's true. Pais was found dead Wednesday morning with an apparent self-inflicted shotgun wound, according to an FBI spokesman in Denver. She was found at the base of the Mount Evans Recreation Area, a Forest Service location for horse riding, fishing, hiking, camping, outdoors stuff. She was found about a half mile up a hill from the lodge there by a stump with a bag and a shotgun by her side. She was wearing a black shirt, camouflage cargo pants, a plaid jacket, and boots. She had had to hike through feet of snow to get to where she was found, so it seems she took some intent to find this little remote little spot to do the thing. A rideshare driver had dropped her off at the location. This spot is about 60 miles west of Denver. It's unclear if it was on Monday or Tuesday when he dropped her off there. It sounds like it was Monday evening. The driver helped authorities find the spot afterwards. He didn't know why she went there. He said she didn't say anything suspicious on the ride.
So she was a student at Miami Beach Senior High School. Her father told the Miami Herald that he had lost contact with her on Sunday, and the parents were cooperating with investigators. A classmate said that Pais was, quote, really smart and had some of the best grades in the class. The Miami Herald also said that she was an honor student. She was very quiet, said a classmate, but she didn't seem weird, said another student about her. Investigators note that most school shooters are male.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, one of the very first school shooters, which is the I Don't Like Mondays shooter, was female.
Across the pond.
From across the pond, yes. FBI agents were investigating a blog website a blog website they're investigating.
It was on the series of inner tubes.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Reportedly connected to Sol Pais, though that hasn't been officially confirmed. The site had scans of handwritten journal notes signed by Pais. They included drawings of weapons, including rifles, handguns, and knives, and one of a trench coat figure holding an apparent weapon, as CNN described it. And of course, the Columbine shooters were known as the were part of this group called the Trench Coat Mafia. They did, or at least one of them did, wear a trench coat during the shooting.
Right.
Song lyrics were included. "Quote unquote, being alive is overrated" was reportedly one entry. Her online handle has been reported as Dissolved Girl. Mm-hmm. "Quote, I feel like a pot of scalding water on the verge of boiling over," another entry read. The final journal entry on the website read, "I want to leave a record of myself before I, well, ...
Mm. The Jefferson County Sheriff said, the Sheriff's Office said they don't think that Pais got onto the grounds at Columbine High in Littleton. As they say, Littleton is about 12 miles south of downtown Denver. April 20th, this Saturday, marks the 20th anniversary of the Columbine High School shooting. April 20th, 1999, Columbine High School students Dylan Klebold, 17, and Eric Harris, 18, marched into the school at 11:19 a.m. with guns and bombs. They killed 13 people, 12 students and one teacher, and injured 23 others. The two shooters shot themselves in the head in the library shortly after noon. SWAT teams had gone into the school 47 minutes after the shooting began.
Which was really bad. And
true.
They got a lot, and then they don't do that anymore. They go right in now.
Right.
But then it was 47 minutes.
The law enforcement, they didn't declare the scene under control and secured until 5 hours later.
Yeah.
So as you recall, there were signs that some students were holding up, TV cameras captured that they needed help, that kind of stuff. It's the entire case, obviously, it's changed how law enforcement and first responders deal with school shootings now, and as well as active shooter or mass shooter situations, which unfortunately are becoming more common. There were school shootings before this one, as we've noted, but the 1999 event marks the unofficial beginning of our sort of current era of what we're dealing with these
definitely
days.
And you know, that was not, and we've heard experts talk about this, that it wasn't a school shooting, it was a failed bombing. They set up the bombs. They were really more about the bombs. They brought the guns, obviously, and they had a lot of guns, but the bombs didn't go off the way that they planned it. They really wanted to. This really was going to be an explosion type of thing.
Homemade bombs.
Homemade bombs, right? So they, you know, a couple of them fizzled out, and then they just went shooting. And, you know, with this girl going out there, she buys a shotgun. So at least when you buy a shotgun, you're not going to, it's not an assault gun. It's not even, you know what, you got two shots, you know, and I'd rather, you know, I've always said this when I talk about gun control. Yeah, shotguns are great. I'm all for shotguns. It's when you get something with a clip of 30
capacity.
Or 40 or 50 that's bad. And, you know, everybody, I mean, we were in the true crime community, we were freaked out about this just because we saw this picture, and then we started seeing like pictures of tattoos of the guys and everything, and then how these guys have been kind of fetishized over, you know, for disaffected youth.
Nicholas Cruz, the Parkland shooter, apparently was very informed by these guys, and he was a big fan.
Yeah, because they left a trail of why they did what they did, and they took videos. You know, and that's one of the reasons why they have become, you know, there was a shooting, actually, I believe it was in the upper Northwest before this one, before Columbine, that was really sort of the start of it. But you didn't really hear about it that much because these guys left so much journals and they left video. I mean, there was actually video.
There's a lot of video, as you may recall, of them doing target practice out in the woods and you know, goofing off and describing what they were
going to do. Look at this shotgun. It looks like right out of Doom, the old video game. So the executive director of security for Jefferson County Public Schools, which includes Columbine High, said, quote, "We deal with a lot of threats at Columbine. This one felt different. It was different. It certainly got our attention." He called Pius's trip a pilgrimage.
Which, by the way, you know, obviously this is amateur opining, but it almost seems like this gal went there specifically almost to, this is where I want to die, rather than take a bunch of stuff. It seems like she almost, you know, this was my intent. She wasn't pure speculation. Mm-hmm. But it definitely, between the shotgun, between going to a remote location,
yeah.
wanted to be near them or with them or whatever. We should also say that with the active shooter situations that they do now, one of the big changes that they do is they don't wait until the scene is secure. A lot of times now they will go in, law enforcement, a lot of departments and agencies, the idea is go in and engage that
yeah.
shooter right away, not secure the
Which
scene and
they
figure
should.
Out. Right.
Yes.
And even first responders now will sort of mm-hmm. go into more of red zones.
Because they're more equipped. First responders mean, definitely the medical helpers,
EMTs,
but I mean, especially when the first cops get in there, they can't just, at Columbine, they waited and they were waiting for SWAT or they were waiting for this. And even when SWAT got there, they waited. And it's, that's the lesson learned there is that, and there's been a lot of, there was so much of, because when we were all watching it,
yeah.
it's like, what are they waiting for?
Well, and a lot of hay has been made as well that with these traumatic events, the difference of 5 minutes can be life or death.
Somebody sitting there on the ground with a gunshot wound.
You're bleeding out, and if you can get somebody in there right away, it increases survivability dramatically.
So the next story we've got...
We should say all Denver metropolitan area schools were locked down. Most were closed on Wednesday due to the threats. About 500,000 students
wow.
were affected by
yeah.
this entire thing. I'm not sure what today's Thursday, the 18th. So, yeah, people are still reacting, and it's quite a traumatic
Jesus.
Event. It's just ahead of the 20-year anniversary of
yeah.
it.
And it's also the 20-year anniversary of Oklahoma City. It's also 20-year anniversary,
25.
But yeah, and also of they all happened right around the same time. Hitler's birthday.
I was going to say that's often been cited as one.
Waco.
Of
it's yeah. all around the same.
Yeah, the 90s were a wild time.
April 20th. Yeah. So we got a sad story out of Phoenix. Austin Smith, who is 30 years old, he comes home from a bar last Thursday night, about 8 p.m. And he confronts his wife, accusing her of having an affair. She denies it. The argument escalates, and Smith allegedly shoots his wife, and then he allegedly kills his two daughters. He then reportedly drove over to the apartment of the man that he believed his wife was cheating with. That man is his brother. But a family friend answered the door, and Smith shot him dead and shot two others there, seriously injuring them with a second gun, which was a rifle.
It's true. He shot two of his daughters. He had a third daughter. The third one was not injured. Officers arrived at the scene and they found that 3-year-old girl hiding under a bed. Police say Austin Smith told them he chose not to kill her because, quotes, she reminded him of himself. Police say Smith shot his 29-year-old wife in this altercation, then shot his 5-year-old daughter. The oldest daughter, 7 years old, died of blunt force trauma. Police say Austin Smith beat her to death with a baseball bat. He said he killed her because she was crying. The other daughter, as I said, was 5 years old. Smith's wife was 29. At the second scene, a 47-year-old woman was shot. She was listed in critical condition, and a 33-year-old man sustained serious injuries. It's unclear, but it seems like the 33-year-old man is actually Austin Smith's brother. At that second scene, the police say that Smith shot the guy that opened the door with the handgun, then went to his car and got a rifle as the other two were attending to the man who was shot at the doorway. He then took the rifle up to the doorway and shot these other two people.
Yeah, so he was apprehended in his car near the second crime scene. Police say Smith told them, quote, in God's eyes, it was all right for him to deal with someone in this manner, and that God had told him to do the things that he did. Arizona Central reports that Phoenix police had referred Smith to a psychiatric facility in November last year after a neighbor reported Smith had a gun and was yelling about people trying to kill him. Police impounded three of his guns, but they returned all three to him a week later. It's unclear if any of those guns were used in last week's incident. Police said a 9mm handgun, a .45 caliber handgun, and a .223 caliber rifle were used in last week's shooting. And he's been charged with first-degree murder, attempted murder, and aggravated assault.
There's the first scene was actually found because at the second scene, someone at that scene had expressed concern for the suspect's family. That's when cops
yeah.
went and they did a welfare check on the first scene. That's when they found this horrifying scene where, you know, the dead family and the three-year-old girl hiding under the bed, which is, you know, awful. The fact that there's going to be some questions, obviously, the fact about his mental instability and the fact that they took his guns for a week and then gave them back. That's your neck of the woods there. So,
we're definitely going to be hearing more about that. Phoenix and Arizona in general is very much a Second Amendment state. It's a right to carry state.
Gun enthusiasts.
It's a very libertarian state. It'll be interesting to see what shakes out from this, because you're dealing with the intersection, which often gets clouded, which is the mental illness issue of this all. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much about somebody buying a gun in this case, and whether they did background checks at somebody that actually had guns, was referred to a psychiatric facility, had those guns taken away, and then the authorities figured he's okay and then gave the guns back.
I don't have the details here, but essentially the police didn't do anything wrong here. The procedural situation here was observed, and they did not have any legal recourse to hold his guns or him. So he was the guns were returned to him. So that's it's a tragic series of events there.
Yeah. So to Indianapolis, we have a fisherman who found a human foot in a pond last week. Police preliminarily confirmed the foot, which had a tattoo, belongs to Najah Farrell, who had been missing since March 15th. DNA tests are still pending. The 30-year-old woman has two biological children and three foster children. She had just started a job at Panera before she disappeared. Police are declaring it a death investigation and her disappearance suspicious, but have found no further evidence in the pond and the surrounding area after searching with divers, sonar, dogs, and a drone. They can't call it a homicide until they have more details.
Police have, during the search, recovered personal items of hers in different areas around Indianapolis. They later found her abandoned car in different locations, as I say, around Indianapolis. More than 30 search warrants have been served so far and 40 interviews conducted. More ponds are reportedly being searched. Avon Police, Indiana State Police, and the FBI are investigating, and they could use any information from the public in the area about this case. It's unfortunate.
When you find body parts like that, the first thought that you have is maybe this was somebody that was cutting off feet, hands, and head, which has been, and then he was tossing each in different areas
for identification purposes,
just to put as much distance as he can between him and the time when he did this and the victim. So
reportedly, the tattoo on this foot is the woman's name, Najah, which is what obviously part of the identifying characteristic. They're doing DNA on it, but
because then it gets weird, because what he I don't want to give it, but if he was smarter, he would have taken the tattoo off before he would have, you know what I mean? And then just, burned that. I don't want to give anybody ideas, but that's what you would have seen with a more sophisticated killer than this. If it might have been that, I don't know how they said that the foot was actually cut off. Was it chopped? Was it sliced? Could it have been a rotor from a boat, maybe, that she had been, you know, there's a lot of different ways that it could have happened, but
or if this is a crime of opportunity and then somebody's doing a sloppy cleanup.
Yeah, but if this was a disappearance and they're calling the disappearance suspicious, we're going to hear more about this case and we'll keep everybody updated on it.
Yeah, prayers to the family. We have a strange story out of Northern California and the Pacific Northwest in general. A man suspected of cutting a woman's head off with a samurai sword last year was found dead in a river. John Doe was pulled from the Feather River in Yuba City, California, which is about 40 miles north of Sacramento. It's pretty far up there, about 1 year ago in April 2018. The body was not recognizable due to being in the water for so long. The body was found by a fisherman. Another fisherman did a grisly discovery here. The body was found by a fisherman near a bridge right downtown. The body was wearing women's clothes. Sheriff's investigators began circulating photos of the man's tattoos. They received tips and they confirmed this month through DNA identification the dead man is Jacob Gonzalez, who was 33 years old.
Right. And Catherine Cunningham, who was 26, her decapitated body was found in March 2018 on Camano Island, about 60 miles north of Seattle. A couple looking to buy property there found her body near a gun and ammo-filled bunker. According to authorities, it was a real bunker, a hole dug 6 feet deep into the side of a hill, the type used by survivalists, police said, with a ladder leading into it. A friend told police that Gonzalez was a bunker nut trying to live off the grid, the Washington Post reports. And that same month, Cunningham's abandoned car was found in Northern California. A samurai sword was found in the trunk, and lab tests showed Cunningham's blood was on the blade. And Jacob Gonzalez's DNA was also on the hilt of the sword. So he was charged with murder last June, and a $1 million warrant was issued for his arrest. And it's unclear how Gonzalez, who drowned, ended up dead in the river hundreds of miles away from the Washington crime scene.
This Camano Island apparently is almost like sort of a wealthy enclave, you know, not quite a private island, but a place where wealthy people from Seattle and that kind of thing tend to have second homes and that type of place, which is why how this place got discovered. But apparently this woman Cunningham and this guy Gonzalez were on again, off again. They had both been in, I believe it was the Air Force Reserve. They'd been service members. And this guy's obviously described as a survivalist nut kind of a thing. Pardon the nut. But yeah, it's unclear. The guy's obviously on the run.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he fell into the river, whether he met with some ill end with somebody's bad intent, or who knows what, but it's a mystery, and it's a bizarre story. We'll keep posted on that when we know more.
So we also have a quick update to the Thomas Burchard case that we told you about 2 weeks ago, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
The case of a 71-year-old child psychiatrist from California who was found beaten to death in the trunk of a car abandoned in the desert outside of Las Vegas.
That's right. Kelsey Nicole Turner, a 25-year-old female model who's done work for Maxim and Playboy Italia, as I understand, whose rent Burchard had stopped paying last year. She was arrested in the case. On Saturday this week, a 30-year-old woman was surrendered to police in Las Vegas after she was named in a warrant charging her with conspiracy and murder in Burchard's death. Diana Nicole Pena was Kelsey Turner's roommate in Las Vegas. Use of tear gas was cited in the warrant.
Wow. And a third suspect, also believed to be Turner's roommate, named John Logan Kennison, 27, is still being sought on the same murder and conspiracy charges. If you remember, we talked about it. The man was heavy.
Right.
This model would not have been able to get him into the trunk and move him around. So we were, like most people, it's not like we're geniuses, but we were saying that there's probably more to this case and there might have been somebody else helping her.
You recall this Thomas Burchard guy was helping out to various women over the years. He had given this particular woman close to $300,000 over a period of about 6 years. He was paying her rent. This man, Thomas Burchard's longtime girlfriend, had said that she knew about his relationship with these women and appeared to be platonic, and he was helping them out in a sort of, I want to say, a sugar daddy situation.
Mm-hmm. But I think we could safely say it was kind of a sugar daddy situation.
It seems that way. Yeah. Who knows what the actual interactions were here, but he met an ill end here.
So, yes. Now it's time for the comments string that is one of the more, you don't want to say entertaining here, because this is deals with drug addiction, again, like so many other crimes do. But on our Facebook page, which is the most popular Facebook true crime page in the world, the most active true crime daily. And there is a woman from Texas, not Florida, but Texas, who told police the shards of meth in her purse were actually her healing crystals, which probably is sort of...
In a way,
they are.
Lying.
And our faithful commenters
healing
brought
crystals.
It...
Healing crystals,
brought
which
it.
Almost sounds like an Arizona type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Lee M. said it's healing her, all right. Cheryl A. said, and the bars of her cell are hugging sticks. Enjoy them.
That's funny.
That's good. Chantilla H. said, just by looking at her, I can tell the crystals are working. You go, girl. And then Iram L. said, her face is basically saying, wait, you don't believe me, but I'm the princess.
Go to truecrimedaily.com and you can get a look at all these stories. This one in particular, though, there's her mugshot. She looks remorseful. She looks sorrowful.
She does look sorrowful. But you know what? Again.
New age healing crystals, crystal methamphetamine. There's a Venn diagram somewhere in there.
And we will put up a phone number for drug addiction and drug counseling on the website, too, because it's getting out of hand, certainly with the opioid epidemic. But, you know, we went from crystal meth and crystal meth being in the spotlight, especially with Breaking Bad. Now it's kind of moved over and the spotlight is the opioid epidemic. But crystal meth is still out there and there's still a lot of people using it.
It does tend to resurge over the years. But the various prescription drugs have gotten a lot of people out there.
So you can check out our content on YouTube and Facebook and truecrimedaily.com. And don't forget to download our weekly podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Also, if you have comments or questions about the show, call us up and leave a message at 888-548-9758. We'd love to hear from you, but be advised your recording may be used on the air in any of our future podcasts. Again, that's 888-548-9758.
Call us up. Chime in. Tell us what you think. We'd love to put you on the air.
We'd love to put you on the air. And this is, you know, as opposed to me just reading these comments, we'd like to hear from you, and you can definitely hear people's inflections matter. Inflections matter.
That's it.
So until next week, this is True Crime Daily, the podcast, reminding you,
don't do crimes.
See you next week.